So it'd be great for me to start with a recap from past year. The first four chapters. I mean, it's been a while ago, and I know most of you guys would have forgotten about it. So in chapter 1, the apostles was ordered by Jesus to stay in Jerusalem and that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And with this, Jesus was ascended to heaven. And not long ago, after that, in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost occurred. And this is where the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles as promised by Jesus. And with the Spirit, Peter was instantly speaking to the crowd. Many believed and repented. As Peter and the apostles continued preaching in chapter 3 and 4, we read that many were converted to the good news of Jesus. Yes, the apostles were confronted by rulers and teachers of the law, but nothing was going to stop them as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And with that, many people were baptized, and many people were doing life together as a church. People were sharing and supporting each other and the church. That's a quick, fast summary, but I do encourage you guys to read it if you have forgotten about chapter 1 to 4. And today we come to chapter 5, which is one of the most extraordinary and shocking story in the New Testament. The story is about two church members not getting away with deceit and lies to God. In chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, we hear about a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. We know they're financially stable as they have property to sell. But why did this couple do this? Why did they sell their properties? So it's important to look at the previous chapter to see what was happening. So in chapter 4, we are reminded of the preaching of the gospel by Peter and John. They were both uneducated and just common fishermen. No one in great status in those times. Many people were like them, farmers, day to day. And it's really important fact to know that. Because back in those ancient times, in the Roman culture, the strong, the elite, business people, the religious, were considered people of great status. And this means with great influence and even great control. We know the will of the Roman Empire. It's about who's the strongest, who's the fittest, who's the smartest, who's able to win the battle of war, military powers and weapons. To conquer, it's a dog-eat-dog world. The strong weeds out the weak. So work hard, be the strongest, and leave everyone behind. Isn't that very exclusive? So for the religious, they saw themselves people who had a high standard of living. Their gods want them to keep the law, so they would change or tweak the law to suit them. There were people who were able to do the work, keep the law, to make things right. If a person was not up there or haven't made it, that person will need to continue to work on it. Try harder. Keep on doing it to follow the law. The religious is also a very exclusive group. And if you are a businessman or even hold a government position, you can make deals to persuade others to side with you, giving you control and power to look after your needs and agenda, your business. And as a businessman, that means you can gain a lot of money, status, and investment. If you're not loud and boastful, you'll lose. If you aren't seen by others as important, you lose. it is hard to get into that position of influence and being light. But if you can do that, you're a winner. And once again, it's a very exclusive group. But we are told the gospel is not about doing or trying or being boastful. We heard it last week by Pastor Eugene. It's not about being the strongest and achieving all the awards. It's not about winning and attaining that trophy. It's not about being moral. It's not about doing. And she can't do anything to win God over. And the gospel is for everyone, like Peter and John, who were just common farmers. And it's about the good news of Jesus, who is the Savior by the grace of God. And that's inclusive to all whoever believes in God. And that is why in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37, many people believed the gospel. Many who heard repent to the apostles as the apostles continued to testify and proclaim the message of the gospel. As people were being converted, many believers were united in Christ and united in the church community. With this, believers wanted to help in whatever way possible. They wanted to share in the work of the gospel. They were willing to share the material, resource of people in the community of church. They were basically able to be generous to the work of the apostles. And yes, some were generous enough to sell the land and property, like Barnabas in Acts 4. He sold the land which he had owned and gave the money to the apostles to support their work, the ministry. In fact, we see his involvement throughout the book of Acts. He testified about Paul to the apostles that he is a follower of Christ in chapter 9, when Paul got converted. Later on in Antioch, Barnabas was an encourager and a teacher in that area in chapter 11. He even got involved in ministry with Paul in chapter 13 to 15. We can see Barnabas was a faithful man to the work of the gospel. Not just in giving, but also faithful in teaching and his actions. His art, his heart and actions were for the gospel ministry. But let me go back to the community of people who were giving to the gospel work. And I do want to say this straight up, and we need to understand this. It wasn't a demand from Peter and the apostles to sell people's home and to give them to the ministry and give them all the money. Also, it wasn't mandatory to sell one's possession before one can join the church. And sometimes people can misread this event, thinking selling everything is a compulsory thing to do. Well, it wasn't. Believers wanted to partner in the church community, helping one another, caring for one another, and loving one another. Having understood what Christ has done for them, for the grace of God. This giving was not forced, because we see this in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Peter says, when Ananias and Sapphira's property was not sold, it belonged to them in the first place. And even when the couple did sell the property, was the sale proceeds not at the couple's disposal? Basically, Peter said they can do whatever they want with the property money. They did not have to give at all. They can give away the full amount, or give 33%, 10%, or nothing. It was really up to them. So it really comes back to the reason and the attitude and the motivation for them to sell the property. They should have given to the church to support gospel ministry, and it's not about them They should have given willingly and not give begrudgingly for God's kingdom work. It was the attitude behind it of why they were wanting to sell it. And let's go into chapter 5, which is the next point in the bulletin. In verse 3 to 10, we're able to read what had happened to Ananias and Sapphira. In verse 3 to 6, Peter confronts Ananias regarding the money. And after that, Ananias dropped dead in verse 7. And we read that his wife, Sapphira, was also confronted by Peter in verse 8 to 9 regarding the money. And she also dropped dead in verse 10. So from what we just read, God just killed a husband and a wife for not giving what they sold to their property. But God didn't punish them because they didn't give enough. It was because they were being deceitful and hiding the truth. Lying to the Spirit and wanting to look great among others. Wanting to stand out among others. Wanting to be popular. Wanting people to take selfies with them. And I bet we all know someone like that. At work, at uni, or even in your family, like your relatives, loves to be the popular one. As you know, most of you guys probably would know that I love riding. I'm in a group called Mammals, which is a middle-aged man in Lycra. I love riding my bike and also enjoy a nice cup of coffee at the end. But there's always one major event that we always talk about. For professional riders, it's all about winning the race called Tour de France. It's like the Champions League in soccer or in Wimbledon in tennis. It's a big one. And it's very hard to win one or three all in a row. Well, there's a person called Lance Armstrong who was able to win 7 times. In fact, he won 7 in a row. And the last one was in 2005. It was unheard of. And yes, I read his books on what he ate, how he trained, the mental toughness he had to go through. So hopefully I can ride like that. I wish. But many people felt that he was a cheater. And many years he had denied that claim. Until 2013, he acknowledged he did cheat. Using drugs all those years, and in fact bullying his teammates to do it. He was a liar. He deceived the cycling world. And from that time on, no one trusted him. He lost his support from Nike, the other sponsors who helped him to sponsor cancer. He got stripped off the 7 titles as a winner. And you might say he deserves it. He got caught and everyone hated him because no one likes a cheater. No one can trust a liar. No one likes to be associated with a deceitful person. And today, that's what we read. But more, our God doesn't like liars and people who are deceitful. Our God doesn't like people who are two-faced. Being deceitful is very harmful. And we need to see the impact it has. Don't we see that the couple had lied in order to appear better than they really are? Both have claimed to be giving all that they have earned from the sales of the field. There were church members claiming to be living a committed, godly way. But it was all a show for them. And selling the field was really to look great, serving themselves and pleasing themselves, but not for the kingdom. And in verse 3, Peter points out their behavior is inspired by Satan and involves lying not just to men, but to God in verse 4. And you know what? We can also see that kind of behavior at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 2. How the serpent was cunning, crafty, and was very deceitful. The serpent lied and knew how to bend the truth, as Adam and Eve were both deceived by him. And they both wanted to be like God, to know good and evil. And the result was, for both Adam and Eve, was punished, was banished. They were both banished from the Garden of Eden and no longer had a close relationship with God. And for Ananias and Sapphira, we see the Spirit doesn't take their deceitful and dishonest behavior lightly. Because you need to remember, the Spirit is one with God, and that God is holy. He must be worshipped as holy. And in this situation, it's not lying to God. To give generously to the gospel according to one's ability with the right attitude. We also see the Spirit will not allow the church to become compromised by the deceit and lies of those who pretend to act selfishly and not devoted to him. The punishment for the couple is death in that time. An important verse here is in verse 11, which is the key. Following the death of the couple, a great fear came upon the people, into the church community, but also outside of church. People who are non-believers had this fear of God. And let me note, this fear is a reverent fear, a fear with respect for God, for who he is. A fear knowing a God he can't be deceived. A God can't be lied to. A fear knowing God hates sin, deception, and dishonesty. And knowing a God who would deal judgment on unholy people, who deceives and lies to him and his church. And with this, we as a church today also need to take notice on how we treat God and treat the church. Our view of theology of church is very important. Our understanding of coming to church is also important. Even our attitude and the reasons why we serve in ministry is very important. And last of all, do we have the same respect for God today? Respect God for who he is. Let's now go to verse 12 to 16. Read that the apostles kept on spreading the word of the gospel. The gospel continues. They also healed, performed signs, witnessing to people that God is real, a God that everyone should take notice and be fearful of. And the apostles did not perform miracles like a show. It's not a bragging right. It's not being popular and even getting approval or recognition from others, as we see in verse 13. But the reason is in verse 14. It says, "Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the number." More and more men and women believed in the Lord. The reason why the apostles healed the sick, freed people tormented by the impure spirits, and performed many other miracles and signs of wonders was to lead people to Christ, to tell people what Christ has done on the cross. And that was the primary goal for the apostles, to tell the good news. Once again, nothing stopped the work of the Holy Spirit. And able to see this, once the gospel was preached, more and more people had believed in it. And we can see this in Acts. like chapter 2, as people were cut to their hearts when they heard Peter's sermon. And in verse 41, we read people received the word and were baptized. Then in chapter 3, Peter, he was a person who was lame. And once again, after the healing, Peter speaks to the people of Israel regarding the Messiah. And we can see the results of the working of the Spirit in chapter 4, verse 4. Many of those who had heard believe. There were 5,000 people who turned to Christ. And later in chapter 6 and chapter 8 and throughout Acts, we're able to read people were converted as the apostles were preaching the gospel. Many signs and miracles was happening in the books of Acts. But we also know miracles in the Bible doesn't happen all the time. As Eugene Kamau from last year has mentioned in chapter 1 to 4, Acts, the book of Acts was a unique time, and the power to perform miracles was given to the apostles of Jesus to share the gospels. Once again, it doesn't mean miracles can't happen today because we can't put God in the box, as he's all-powerful, he's almighty, so he can do it. In fact, miracles happens in our lives. Let me tell you a story of this man called Jimmy. He's one of the SRC teachers for my kids' school. So he's a scripture teacher. And I asked him, how long have you been a Christian? But how long have you been teaching SRC? And also, how you became a Christian? So he told me he was a foster child. And it was very hard for him. He's a very old age, so in those times, probably 50 years ago, it was very hard for him. He had to move around and lived in a small country town in New Zealand. And sometimes he will bump into his biological mum. And one day, he was given a part of a Bible, one of those little gospel tracts, and he read at night with a torch, hiding, just reading at night, thinking he might be in trouble. It was because of that someone had told him the gospel and gave him that gospel tract that he knew there was a God. He was broken and lost. Don't know where he belonged. But it was a miracle of God that was able to hold on to. In his mind, he had nothing. Broken, not just in his family life, but mentally as well. But God has laid a word into his heart. God has transformed his heart with peace and love. This is his miracle. And today he teaches the kids so that God will transform their hearts. And the kids also can have a miracle for themselves. If it's not today, but in the future, but all in God's timing. Don't you see? We all have a miracle story to tell. How God has found us. How he transformed our broken heart from hate and pain to a heart which sees the love of God. It doesn't matter where you come from. Whether from a Christian family or from a Buddhist background, the best is that everyone has a unique story to tell. And you can tell others. Your story is about how God has transformed your heart. It's a personal story. It's also a unique story. And it's a miracle from God for you to share for others. And today's passage, we're able to read how people respond to the gospel preached to them. People believe in the gospel, repent and follow Christ because it's for all people. So as God's people, we should be inclusive to all people. We all have our own stories from different backgrounds and some are older than others, but we have the same united gospel. And this means we are able to welcome one another as a church. And this also means welcoming others who walks into the church to show what the gospel means to us as a church. And we read how people have treated the early church today. How Ananias and Sapphira were willing to lie and try to deceive the spirit in the church community. The book of Acts doesn't say they were believers or not, but through their action, it probably has given us an answer. But for sure we know they want to look great on the outside, wanted people to see how wonderful they were. But on the inside, we see it's all about themselves. They were two-faced, acting one way, wanting people to see their outer beauty. But in the inside, they were dark and twisted. They really didn't care for others. Didn't care about the community being united as one. Didn't care for the church. Didn't care for the apostles' needs and their mission. Because if they did, they wouldn't have lied and been so deceitful. They thought they knew the gospel, but really it was Satan's lies. And this happened in the world we're living today. There are liars. There are people who are deceivers. There are people who will backstab. And you can find them. You can find them in governments, in companies, and sometimes even at home. And yes, it does creep into the church. Wolves hidden among God's sheep. As this happened in the early church, it also happens today. People think it's okay to lie. It's okay to lie and to get away from it. It has happened to churches. It can also happen to Grace Point. Wolf has taken members of the church and taught them the wrong gospel. Satan is a liar, and he is good at it too. So we shouldn't take this matter lightly, as being deceitful and lying to one another shouldn't be a joke. Our actions to our brothers and sisters in the church can be very harmful and hurtful. It creates fractions and can impact people's emotional and spiritually. In fact, to say that your actions do not affect anyone and only yourself is a Satan lie. This is very immature thinking because it can and does impact the whole church. It is one reason we as a church come together. We gather to hear God's truth, God's word from the Bible. We come together on a Sunday in our community groups to deal with the lies of Satan, and which might be creeping into our thoughts and mind. And that's why Sunday church is so important. And that's why going to community groups is important. Which leads to my final point. If we are united and are part of the same body, and today we have a great example from our brother Barnabas. He didn't just give generously to the work of the gospel. He was also faithful to the word, a person who was willing to speak the truth to others and support others like Paul. Barnabas was an encourager to all in his ministry and taught others in the church. We can say he was a faithful leader who serves the church with the given spiritual gifts he had. And I know there are a lot of people who are like Barnabas today at Grace Point, able and willing to give to the work of the gospel and the church, giving money, time and energy, partnering with the church in ministry, being a steadfast and faithful servant of Christ, I'd like to say, keep it up. You are an encourager to others within the church community. Witnessing to the young generations and even to the staff. Be a humble servant and being faithful to Him that the Spirit has given to you. And I do want to encourage others, if you haven't yet, to use a spiritual gift which is given to you, as it's given by the Holy Spirit to grow the church, it will be a great time right now. As we're relaunching, new ministry is coming up, use your gifts or join a community group if you haven't, to grow together, but also to serve one another. Serve your members, serve your leaders as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are reminded that the good news is for all people. Let's proclaim this message to others, knowing it's the Spirit who will change people's heart. And also let's encourage each other as we serve your church and your people. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.